I'm going to attempt a summary of our third session for the intermediate course, which tonight was looking at insight. We discussed the definitions of insight, and one of the ways it's defined in the Oxford Dictionary is the capacity to gain an accurate and deep understanding of something or someone. Also, it refers to the power of seeing into a situation, the ability to perceive clearly, deeply, the understanding of a complex situation. So it's the capacity as well for understanding one's own and others' mental processes or problems. So the other definition that's required, and the one we also quoted tonight, was the realization of understanding that allows an emotional realization to come to the fore of our understanding while we're meditating. The definition we also use regarding the mindfulness definition for insight is recognizing what is happening as it's happening without preference. And this is our core definition of mindfulness overall. That's the one we start at the beginning. So another definition that was used, that Rona indicated, is one that we use within the Highland Mindfulness Group, which is any realization, understanding, or way of seeing things that bring about to any degree a dissolution or a decrease in suffering. So there you have it, all the definitions that I can think of insight. But the important thing is that we recognize the underlying processes that give rise to the activity that we observe in our minds. So if we want to understand how and why our inner experience of thoughts, of our emotions, and of our mind states that arise in the way that they do, it's very important to become aware of our underlying assumptions, beliefs, and our attitudes. Because we can hold perception of ourselves and the world that we live in, in many different ways. And we then came on to the definition of what conceptual proliferation is, which is all the perceptions and beliefs and assumptions that we hold. So the way we defined conceptual proliferation is that all the time we have thoughts, feelings, and images that continuously arise in our mind. This can be from our external environment, a stimulus such as a noise, or also memories are a good one for bringing up this conceptual proliferation. You know, we think of something and all of a sudden we're in a storyline. But often we are unaware of this process and we simply identify with it. So it's really powerful. It's a powerful process. So in the sense that we don't always identify it with, because we're so distracted by our thoughts, we buy into the stories. So it's packaged, if you like, in terms of our previous experience, our likes and our dislikes. And as we identify with them, they become my thoughts, my feelings, etc. So that is the whole concept of conceptual proliferation. So then we gave an example of the snake and the rope. So as a way to illustrate this, when we walk into a darkened room, if you like, and we see something that's coiled on the floor, we may well think that this is a snake ready to bite us. And if we identify with this belief, we are likely to be gripped with fear. Our heart's beating violently, we'll have a significant flight or flight response, so that something terrible is about to happen to us. And then our eyes adjust to the dark and we recognize that we see a rope, which is followed by massive relief that we're not going to be bitten. And this is the recognition that we talk about. This recognition that we see a different prospect, and the practice of insight helps us to come to know these processes in the mind so that we simply do not buy into them automatically. So we're learning to recognize the arising of thought and the processes of the mind, and this is essential for the development of insight. So we learn to train the mind to let all that go so that we can rest the mind into feeling rather than thinking about it. So we're observing the flow of thought, feeling, emotions, the mind's chatter, if you like, which is the intellectual mind. So we're learning to observe the process of the intellectual mind, the reasons and the memories about what has happened to us. It's a process that doesn't allow us to solve anything, and it's often a dead end. So what we're looking for, we're looking to see from a different perspective. And certainly insight, the cultivation of insight, comes out of an expansive attention. It's not limited, it's not narrow. Just as in the example of the rope and the snake, recognizing that the rope is a rope and not a snake. So we cannot do insight, but what we can do, we can create the conditions for insight to arise. So insight is a direct knowing, a non-conceptual knowing, if you like, it rather than intellectual understanding. So the first step is to allow ourselves to come to rest so that we can observe this mind chatter. We notice that we engaged with what goes on in our minds most of the time. And as I said, it's a powerful process, which is why it's often called the web of conceptual proliferation. And it prevents us from being aware of what is happening in the moment because we're caught up in our thoughts and the narrative. We buy into the feelings, we try and make sense, make meaning of what's happened and why we're feeling the way we are. So the second step is we begin to make contact with our emotional intelligence, which is where insight comes from. So our feelings, so that we can see how things are and see how things can be resolved in our lives by feeling our way through them rather than thinking about them. Okay, I'm not going to say any more. I hope that is an okay summary.